everyone. It is lovely to have Elizabeth with us, and it's lovely to see everyone after we've been away. Well, we only missed one Sunday, didn't we? But we've had an amazing time in Ireland and didn't want to come back. It's very chilled. Anyway, no, it is lovely to be back. Yeah, no, it is lovely to be here. So, anyway, we've come here to worship Jesus, and I just wanted to read just two verses, no, three. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Whoop, tripping over that. So let's pray before we begin. Oh Lord Jesus, it is so good to be back together again and in this special place that we thank you each week that we're blessed to be here. Lord, we pray that those who are out there having breakfast or coffee might hear us and might want to know more about what's going on here, that we might tell them about you. So, Lord, we thank you that we can come here and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we do have so much to thank you for. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And good morning to all those watching online who can't be with us. And we're going to begin with our title this morning is about not quenching the Holy Spirit. But obviously we're not going to sing songs about quenching the Holy Spirit, so we are singing songs about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to start with Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Thank you.
To sing Jesus is King. We come to him, our priest and apostle, clothed in his glory and bearing his name, laying our lives with gladness before him. Filled with his spirit, we worship the King. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the power of prayer and for the privilege it gives to us. For we are able to come to you any time, and you are always ready to hear our prayer. May we desire to use prayer to strengthen our relationship with you, both as a church and as individuals. We bring our ministry to you. May we always see to accept your leadership. And we thank you because you are our rock, our strength, our wisdom, and our guide. And we want to remember before you today those that are not able to be with us. We pray for Stuart and Jean and ask that you will be with them and that you will help them in their present situation. We pray for John. Lord, we know he's had a hard time, and we believe, Lord, that things have got a little bit better for him, and we thank you for that. We pray for Helen, Lord. That's been a very difficult time for Helen, and we pray, Lord, that now she is to be in a different place, that you will be with her, that you will be her strength. And we pray for the people that are going to look after her in the metal wing. We pray for April. We thank you, Lord, for all that she's gone through, and we pray that you would continue to work in her life. We pray for Sarah Jane, and we thank you, Lord, for the way that you are using her in acts of love. Lord, we want also to pray for the other Sarah. Lord, we don't know what has happened to her today, but we pray, Lord, that you will be with her also. And then, Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for Jilly. We pray for Richard. We pray for Brian. We pray for Rita. We pray for Eunice and myself. We pray for Bruce. We pray for Elizabeth. We pray for Deborah and Graham. Lord, may we all know your care and love in our own lives. And Lord, what we do, may it be the things that please you, O God. You are our God, and we love you. But we thank you that you love us. You are our God of love. In fact, of your love, there is no equal. We pray that your presence and your love will reach all people, leaders, teachers, healers, doctors, nurses, carers, and all people worldwide. May they be encouraged to listen to you, to learn all about you and your redeeming love. We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you that we know you personally and we love you. And we want to go through each and every day knowing that you are there for us, and that we are indeed ready to serve you. So, Lord, we bring our prayers to you. We know that you hear them. We know that you listen to them. We know that you answer them in accordance with your will. So may your will be done, and may the glory be yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing, Father, we adore you.
Love.
come to our Bible reading, and this morning Deborah is going to bring it to us, and it is printed in our service sheet. Thank you, Deborah.
Our reading this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 28. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
Thank you.
So we're going to sing, There is a Redeemer, and it says, Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Precious Lamb of God.
Well, we come to our message for today, with the title, Do Not Quench the Spirit. And I've got something to say here, because if you look at different versions of the New International Version, you will find that some translations are different from others. And Bruce, you might be pleased to know that when sometimes what you've printed differs from what is read, or what is said, is because in the New International Version, I've got a copy of a lady who, Graham will remember her, she was our organist in one of the churches that I served in London, and she left her Bible that we presented to her when she passed on. She left her Bible for me, and I looked at it, and I looked at my own Bible, and I looked at the Bible that we got for the church. They're all NIVs, but two of them have this verse. For 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, it says, Do not put out the Spirit's fire. So that's very different, perhaps, from do not quench the Spirit. But there you are. If you think someone's read it wrong, maybe that the translation is different in some translations of the NIV. I was so surprised about that. There we are. And I hope that it comforts you, Bruce, because sometimes what you have printed for us so well differs from what might be read. But there we are. Do not quench the Spirit, verse 19, or do not put out the Spirit's fire. Now the voice of the Spirit of God is as gentle as the summer breeze. It's so gentle that unless we are living in complete fellowship and oneness with God, we might never hear it. The sense of warning and the restraint that the Spirit gives comes to us in the most amazing and gentle ways. And my friends, if you are not sensitive enough to detect his voice, you will quench it, and your spirit life will be impaired. The sense of restraint will always come as a still, small voice. 1 Kings 19, verse 12. After the earthquake came a fire. After the fire came a still, small voice. So faint that no one except a saint of God would notice it. Beware then. We need to be aware if in sharing our personal testimony, we continually have to look back, saying, once a number of years ago, I was saved. You know, friends, if we have put our hand to the plow, if we are serving God as born-again Christians, and we are walking in the light, there is no looking back as such. Oh yes, we give our testimony, but we, for our own walk, do not have to keep on looking back. The past, if you like, is instilled in the present wonder of our fellowship and our oneness with our God. Luke 19, verse 62. Anyone who looks back and puts their hand for the kingdom, it's not good. If we get out of the light of God, we become a sentimental Christian and live only for our memories. So, we have to look at our life. We have to look at where we're going. We have to look at what the Spirit is saying to us today. So beware of trying to cover up by recalling our past experiences. You know, when we walked with the Lord in the past. Because yes, that may have been wonderful, but we now look to the future. Once we have said to the Lord that we are going to follow him, we need to be ready for all that the Lord has for us for the future. 1 John 1:7. But if we have fellowship there with the light, and if we have the blood of Jesus as one of the purities of our life, the Spirit gives us that wonderful sense that we are following the Lord in our future service. Whenever the Spirit gives us that sense of restraint, we need to call a halt and make things right, or else we will go on quenching and grieving the Spirit without even perhaps knowing it. Suppose God brings to us a crisis and we almost endure it, but not completely. He will engineer crisis again, but this time some of the intensity will be lost. We will have less discernment and more humiliation at having disobeyed the Lord. So if we continue to grieve the Spirit, there will continue to be a time when we rarely are not honestly and truly listening to the Spirit as we plan our future. But if we will go on through the crisis, well then our life will become a hymn of praise to our God. In other words, we don't continue to hurt God. For us to be free of that, God must be allowed to deal with us. God must be allowed to be all that we need. You see, it's so easy, isn't it, for us to be, as a Christian, seeking to serve God and yet not open to the voice of the Spirit. Some people will say, oh, Spirit never talks to me. You know, my friends, if we accept God, if we accept Jesus, if we accept the Spirit as our one God in three persons, then we need to listen to them all. We need to listen especially to the Spirit. The Spirit comes after Jesus has given his life. The Spirit comes to live within us, as Jesus promised. And with the Spirit living in us, we can't, we must not be blind or deaf to what the Spirit has to say to us. You know, there are times when perhaps what the Spirit wants to say to us, we don't like the sound of it. And it would be easy then to say we haven't heard what the Spirit said to us. But you know, if the Spirit speaks to us, if the Spirit wants us to do something particular, we need to honor it. We need to do it. We need to honor what the Spirit says, because the Spirit is bringing to us God's will. Oh, we're going to obey God's will? Well, I certainly hope so. But you know, the Spirit should be on fire in our lives. It's easy to say, oh, well, I don't have any experience of the Spirit in the way that you are talking. My friends, the quieter we are more likely to hear the Spirit speak. I remember years and years ago when the Lord spoke to me through the Spirit. We had got very worried about the children's organizations, the Boys Brigade and the Scouts. They would not have anyone in their organizations under about 8 or 9. And we felt that there should be a place for children from 5 upwards. Why are they being missed out? And I wrote to the leader of the Boys Brigade, to the Scouts, but also to the church leaders, Archbishop of Canterbury, the leaders of the Baptists, the leader of the Methodists, and so on. And I was working in the city. That morning, before I left for work, had a letter from the Archbishop of Canterbury. And he said, Bruce, you must found a new organization. Well, now that was such a big thing. Oh, how could I do it? I was really worried. And so at lunchtime, I walked from the office in the city to St. Paul's Cathedral. And there I sat in that cathedral, in the prayer chapel. I don't know how long I was there. I don't normally keep still for long, but I was there for a very long time. And the Spirit just gripped me. An experience up to that time I'd not really realized. And I thought, right, I'm being told by the Spirit, by the Archbishop of Canterbury, to get and do something. So I better do it. But it's a big job and it'll take a lot of time. Well, the Lord got hold of that as well. Because when I got back, I'd spent from at least 2 or 3 lunchtimes in the cathedral. So my boss said, right, that's it. You'll no longer work here. So I got the sack. And of course they gave me all the time I needed to do what the Spirit had said. Do not what can I say? Do not grieve the spirit of light. Do not put out the spirit's fire because we disobey what he says. The organization called the Imps carried on for 21 years, and then the scouts and brigade decided to lower their ages, so our work was done. But you see, 21 years of people, children from 5 to 8 or 9, would not have had that job. And why was that so important? Well, A, our president, Lieutenant General Sir John Glubb, he said, the foundation that you've laid in those people's lives is vitally important. But there was something else. As those children grew up in the first group that I led, we found that many of them not only became Christians, but they took major places in God's work in our country. And that organization had spread throughout England and Wales during that time. So they took their experience further on. The Spirit hadn't stopped working. The Spirit was still working in those young men's and young women's lives. It was great. So, you know, we never know, do we? But if the Spirit speaks to us, if the Spirit calls us to do something, it's not going to stop with the Spirit entering our lives. That's only the beginning. We need to make sure that we walk in such a way with our God that the Spirit is heard and obeyed. God bless you. Amen.
So we're going to sing Gracious Father, Son and Spirit, ever joined in bonds of love. May your church share in the union of our God, the three in one. May the love of God our Father poured on us in Christ the Son, in the union of his Spirit, fill our hearts and make us one. And in case you think you don't know this, it's sung to the tune of Here is Love. So I think everyone knows that.
Gracious Father, Son and Spirit, ever joined in bonds of love, may your church love of God.
Our final song, which is "All Over the World, the Spirit is Moving." All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God.